Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Remember, VOA Olympic fans, the opening ceremony for the multi-sports extravaganza will be August 5th at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. The games will feature competition in 28 sports, including golf and rugby sevens, which were added by the International Olympic Committee for Rio 2016. Joining us now from Rio with an update on the city's preparations is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Not only the two weather intelligent buoys installed in front of the marina to help the sailing competitors to plan their strategies are predicting heat. The summer games taking place in Rio during the winter will be very hot and dry according to the weather forecasters. And this week the 2016 Olympic torch will be lit in Greece by a mirror reflecting the sun energy. And the president of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, has cancelled her trip to attend the ceremony. She will put her energy into the pleading of not guilty while facing a process of impeachment. All the headlines predict she and her leftist party will be put out of the power for good. Tough as it can be for all, but smothering the less fortunate people, the country has been on fire, precariously functioning or not functioning at all in every single sector, especially the security, health, and education systems. Teachers are on strike. On top of that, a devastating flood of corruption, bringing to the surface lawmakers facing scandals of their own, but certain to secure power until the next election. In the very state of Rio, house of the Olympic Games within 3 months, the public workers still have no idea of when their salary will be paid. The interim governor and his financial secretary said 3 days ago in a press meeting, "We don't know when the situation will be back to normal. We don't have money, and we need you all to be patient." But sticking with the Olympics, here we go again. The COI, International Olympic Committee, came to Rio this week past to walk through the preparations and deliver the note to the press saying, "Despite the complex political and economic context, we are confident that Brazil is on track to host successful Olympic Games." Despite is a popular word these days. Last minute demands from COI includes the painting of the second soccer stadium with the colors of the Olympics and the anticipation of freeways in the streets of Rio. COI argues it is to facilitate the Olympic mobility. Underneath the COI's rhetoric, Rio has been established by the mayor as a business city, meaning major sponsors for major events, such as the one for the Olympics, have rights and power to enforce them. So already started in certain points of the city, a cosmetic makeup, illegal hawkers and homeless been hiding for a while. In the meantime, around the Olympic Village, the gymnasts are testing their new arena and competing to fulfill the last 100 places available. A lot of tension in the air since last Friday and until next Wednesday. Also tension is the state of mind of the African refugees Olympic judo athletes Popole Mizenga and Yolanda Bukaza from Congo. They are still waiting for the financial support promised to them, living on donations which do not avoid them to starve, according to Mizenga for the newspaper O Globo, or scared to death with the shooting in the slum where they live. Tension, and a big contrast up against the African refugee situation, is what Cesar Cielo is living. The Brazilian swim and medalist may not qualify for the Olympics. After months training in Texas, USA, he came back to Brazil for his last qualifying chance this week on Wednesday. Talking about tension, although it may sound ironic, even the Olympic golfers are up to it. Last week, it was found an alligator patiently walking on the newly built Olympic golf field. Golf is returning at Rio de Janeiro Olympics after a century of absence from the Games, and the course was built nearby the neighborhood of Jacarepaguá, which means Alligator Lagoon. I am Luis Piazzé for the Sony Side of Sports.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Tennis news now on the Voice of America. Star player Rafael Nadal, fresh from winning his ninth Monte Carlo Masters title, is back in Spain this week to try and win the Barcelona Open for a ninth time. The 14-time Grand Slam champion has a bye in the first round, and Rafa will play his opening match Wednesday in Barcelona. On Sunday, the Spaniard defeated Frenchman Gael Monfils in three sets, 7-5, 5-7, and 6-love, to win the Monte Carlo Masters clay court tournament. Rafa talks about the significance of winning again in Monte Carlo.
I said at the beginning of the season that I feel myself much better than the year before, but the victory here confirms that I am better, and I am very happy. You know, it's a very, very emotional week for me, a very important event. Probably Monte Carlo is one of the most important places in my career, without any doubt, and win again here after 3 years is something so special for me. You know, so very happy for that, and I am enjoying having an emotional day.
That emotional day in Monte Carlo should be a big boost for Nadal's confidence ahead of next month's French Open in Paris. Like Monte Carlo, Rafa has won the French Open men's singles title 9 times. He says the hard work he's been putting in is paying off.
I have been working hard, no? I have been working hard since a long time ago, and, you know, I said enough, no, about the nerves that I spend, the anxiety during the matches, so it's a work of every day to slow down that, no? And it's a work of every day, and the victories helps, and still not 100% perfect, but it's still much, much better of everything, no? So I don't have that feeling that I had last year on court, so very happy for that.
A happy Rafael Nadal celebrating another tennis title in Monte Carlo, Monaco. Rafa will have the Spanish crowd on his side this week as he competes at the Barcelona Open. In terms of the Olympics, Rafael Nadal was in Brazil in February for the Rio Open clay court tournament. Rafa advanced to the semifinals before losing to eventual champion Pablo Cuevas of Uruguay. Nadal won the gold medal in men's singles at the 2008 Beijing Olympics, but missed the 2012 London Olympics because of injury. While in Rio in February, Rafa said he was surprised the Olympic tennis tournament in August will be played on hard courts and not on clay, his favorite surface, as well as Brazil's traditional playing surface. However, with the Rio Olympics taking place just a few weeks before the U.S. Open hardcourt event in New York, organizers sought to minimize disruptions for top players.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page on this Tuesday, you'll see a nice photo of Ethiopian athletes Lemmy Berhanu Haile and Atsede Baisa, who won the men's and women's titles at the 120th Boston Marathon. It marked Ethiopia's first ever sweep of the men's and women's races at the world's oldest annual marathon. Lemmy Berhanu Haile finished in 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 45 seconds to beat fellow Ethiopian and defending champion Lelisa Desisa by 47 seconds. Yamane Sege was an additional 30 seconds back to round out an all-Ethiopian top three. In the women's race, Atsede Baisa chased down Ethiopian countrywoman Terfi Segaye about 2 miles from the finish line. Atsede, a two-time Chicago Marathon champion, won by 44 seconds, clocking 2 hours, 29 minutes, and 19 seconds. And Kenya's Joyce Chepkurui was third. Speaking through an interpreter after her victory, Atsede Baisa said she's confident she'll now be picked by Ethiopian selectors to run the Women's Olympic Marathon in Rio in August. She and Lemmy Berhanu Haile each received first-place prizes of $150,000 for their victories in Boston. In the National Basketball Association playoffs, the defending champion Golden State Warriors defused the visiting Houston Rockets 115-106 to take a 2-0 lead in their first round series. Remember, VOA basketball fans, all of the series in the NBA playoffs are best of 7 games, so the first team to win 4 games advances. The Warriors, who won a record 73 games during the regular season, proved they can win without Steph Curry, their reigning league most valuable player. Curry watched the action in Game 2 from the bench with an ankle injury, but he's expected to play later in the series. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr talks about winning without Steph.
Obviously, when you lose the MVP, you've got concern, but we do believe in our depth and in our ability to win when we're down a man, even if it is Steph. And, you know, I'm very pleased with the effort, obviously, with the outcome. And we had a lot of guys just step up and play extremely well.
One of the guys who played extremely well for the Warriors was Steph Curry's backcourt partner, Klay Thompson. Thompson scored a game-high 34 points for Golden State. Klay says he received words of encouragement before Game 2 from Golden State teammate Anderson Varejao.
You know, Andy Varejao told me before the game, just be myself. I don't have to force anything. We got a deep team. And Steve, before the game, too, just told me to channel my inner Reggie Miller and move as much as I can without the ball. And I thought I did a good job of that tonight, so I was able to get to the line a lot. You know, I play with great energy on both ends, and, you know, when I do that and play with focus, I mean, I help this team a lot just by just cutting and playing active, and, I mean, there's still things I can improve on, but I'm just satisfied with how active I was tonight.
Among those praising Klay Thompson was his head coach, Steve Kerr.
Clay, I think all the guys knew they had to be aggressive with Steph out. And the best number on the stat sheet is 16 free throws for Clay. You know, 15 for 16 from the line, and that's, you know, eight times when we can get our defense set up, basically. And we're not a high-volume free throw shooting team normally. We don't get to the line that often. But in a game like this, it's important to do so, to get your defense set up and keep them out of transition. And so I thought Clay was fantastic tonight and came out big.
So, Coach, will Steph Curry play in Game 3 on Thursday night in Houston, Texas?
We want to make sure Steph is right and his foot is fine and healthy. So we'll see how he responds the next couple of days. And obviously being up 2-0 does give us a little more cushion if we decided to sit him. But it'll be based on his health, not the series score.
Thanks, Coach. That's Steve Kerr, head coach of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, speaking in the western U.S. city of Oakland, California. In Monday's two other playoff results, the Toronto Raptors beat the visiting Indiana Pacers 98-87 to even that series at one game each. And the Dallas Mavericks edged the host Oklahoma City Thunder 85-84. That series is also tied at one game each. A putback at the buzzer by Oklahoma City's Steven Adams that would have won the game was disallowed upon video review by the officials, disappointing the fans in Oklahoma City. The series now moves to Dallas, Texas for Game 3 on Thursday night. I'm sure Thunder star Kevin Durant will be hoping for a better game. Durant had one of the worst postseason shooting performances of his career Monday night. Though he scored 21 points, Kevin missed 26 of the 33 shots he took. A lot of misses. Durant, usually one of the better shooters in the NBA, so he'll be wishing to forget that game and look ahead to Game 3 on Thursday night. In other NBA news, San Antonio Spurs forward Kawhi Leonard has been named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year. It marks the second year in a row the 24-year-old Leonard has won the award. Kawhi will be back on the court later Tuesday night when he and the Spurs host the Memphis Grizzlies in Game 2 of their first-round playoff series. San Antonio trounced Memphis on Sunday in the opener, 106-74. And in one other playoff game later Tuesday night, the Atlanta Hawks host the Boston Celtics. The Hawks edge the Celtics in Game 1, 102-101. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, there's a lot of talk about the NBA Finals and the NBA playoffs, but I want to talk first about another playoff that's going on, and that's the NHL playoffs, the National Hockey League here in the U.S.
Okay.
And some controversy the other night about the Washington Capitals and Philadelphia Flyers. Now, the Washington Capitals and the Philadelphia Flyers are two rival teams. Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia are only about 2.5 hours apart. So there's a big rivalry between these teams, and Washington went into Philadelphia and was leading by 5-1. And fans were not happy about this, to say the least, and they started throwing what they gave out to fans at the beginning of the game were glow-in-the-dark wristbands.
Uh-oh.
So they were throwing their wristbands in protest on the ice. Both players from both teams, from the Capitals and the Flyers, were telling them to stop, trying to get them to stop. Part of the problem was that it delayed the game, but the wristbands were white, and of course the ice is white, so it's very hard to see, so they had to make sure that all the wristbands were off the ice so nobody tripped and fell. The Flyers ended up getting a penalty for delaying the game. But lots of people on social media saying it was just very poor sportsmanship, poor action by the fans on both sides. Fans in Washington and fans in Philadelphia saying this is embarrassing for our team, for our city. Some of the players, however, on the Flyers saying, yeah, I probably would have done the same thing if I were them. I would, you know, didn't think we you know, did anything wrong. So a lot of back and forth about that on social media.
Andrew, I think you know the city of Philadelphia is nicknamed the city of brotherly love.
There was no brotherly love at this game. I will tell you that
and
for
yet,
sure. It was.
I think those Philadelphia fans occasionally, they're not the most well-mannered at times.
Philadelphia is one of those cities that has a reputation sometimes for having fans that can be less than welcoming. But I think every city, you know, to a certain extent has some of those fans.
They do love their sports teams.
But they do love their sports teams very much. And it was on display last night that they were unhappy about that. But back to the NBA playoffs, another trending topic, of course. And something interesting that the NBA is doing, they're doing something on Twitter called conversational ads. Now, what this is they have a tweet that goes out and there are two buttons in the tweets. And you can select one of two options and tweet out. When you click on that button, it tweets out from your account, whatever the hashtag is. So they have a hashtag, I got the Spurs, hashtag, I got the Hawks.
Okay.
I got the, you know,
Warriors. Who they're picking.
Basically who they're picking. And they're doing this, you know, throughout the course of the different nights of the playoffs to say, who do you have in these games? So we're seeing lots of fans clicking on those buttons to show their support for their teams and tweeting that out. We're also seeing a lot of people, you know, official accounts, sports journalists, as well as fans using Twitter's poll feature to say, okay, who do you have in this game? And people are voting in kind of unscientific polls to see who should prevail. But lots of fun that people are having with it on social media. Lots of the conversation being driven there for sure.
Andrew, on the social media front, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. On Monday, I tweeted a quote from my friend Andrew Palcheski. Andrew said, a lot of people saying even if Steph Curry sits out, the Warriors are going to be just fine. And in fact, they were just fine on Monday night,
Andrew. My prediction came true. It's, you know, this makes up for when in the NCAA tournament when I said Oklahoma was going to win, and they very much did not. But this makes up for that. But no, that was a big topic of conversation as well, saying Golden State's got this wrapped up. They're going to run with it. A lot of people expressing that on social media. But people, too, saying, okay, when is Steph Curry going to come back? Are they going to maybe hold him out for this series since they are up now 2-0? Maybe they want to just kind of keep him out, make sure he gets healthy, and then bring him back in. Of course, always on social media, we have fans doing a little bit of the coaching or trying to do some of the coaching with those kind of questions.
Andrew, I think that does speak a lot to Golden State's depth. I mean, they're not just Steph Curry. They have a lot of good players on that team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I, you know, people also are tweeting out kind of some of the odds, who is expected to win, who are the, you know, the betting odds for who's going to win. And I think Golden State is far and away the, you know, team that the most people are picking to win the whole thing.
And as I mentioned earlier, Andrew, the NBA playoffs, just like the National Ice Hockey League playoffs, best of seven format for all these series. So a team in each league, they have to win 4 games to advance. So I think this will be a trending topic for a while as these playoffs progress.
Lots of good basketball to watch and talk about. And even though he's not in the playoffs, Kobe Bryant is still making news on social media, or rather one of his fans. Somebody took, so they say anyway, a Ziploc bag and said they filled it with air from the game. I guess they were at Kobe's last game. They zipped up this bag and they said, okay, I'm going to sell this bag of air from Kobe's last game on the auction site eBay.
Somebody actually bid on that, Andrew?
Do you know, it got up to $16,000 before eBay finally shut it down. Much to the chagrin, I'm sure, of the person who was selling it. I don't know whether they were even actually at the game or not, but they figured probably, hey, I'm going to get $16,000 for a Ziploc bag of air. But, you know, people saying if someone's willing to bid $16,000 for an unverified bag of air, to the point where all this person did was take a piece of tape and write air from Kobe's last game and put it on the bag. It didn't have any kind of certificates or anything. They said if somebody's willing to bid $16,000 on something like that, then they deserve to be taken for a ride there and have to pay $16,000. But now eBay said, can't do that. They shut it down. But as many other fans are noting, you can buy commemorative Kobe gear. There's a commemorative Kobe jacket that's about $700 that a lot of people are saying is maybe a bit excessive, but at least it's not $16,000. And at least you get to wear it as opposed to a bag of air.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And I'll see you again on Wednesday. And that wraps up the April 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Speaking at a seminar in Botswana's Ganzi district in early April, U.S. Ambassador to Botswana Earl Miller called Botswana a laudable example for other countries to follow. Now, Botswana could be among the first countries to actually control the HIV epidemic. The seminar was organized by an interagency team from the U.S. government in partnership with the District Multisectoral AIDS Committee. The U.S. also partnered with the Media Institute of Southern Africa. This program was sponsored by the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, which is the country's global health initiative to assist countries in responding effectively and sustainably to the HIV epidemic. Over the last decade, PEPFAR has committed more than $780 million to Botswana in its response to HIV. Together with the government of Botswana, civil society, and other development partners, we have come a long way, Ambassador Miller noted. Ambassador Miller lauded Botswana's progress toward meeting UNAIDS Global 90-90-90 targets, referring to the HIV testing, treatment, and viral suppression targets. 90% of those infected with HIV should be aware of their status, 90% of those aware of their status should have received treatment, and for 90% of those being treated, the drugs will have had the intended effect of suppressing the patient's viral load. A study sponsored by PEPFAR found that out of the 3,500 individuals from 30 communities who tested HIV positive, 83% of them knew their HIV status. Among people who knew their HIV status, 87% of them had initiated treatment, and 96% of those on the treatment had achieved viral suppression. This was only a relatively small sample size in just 30 communities, but it is encouraging. Ambassador Miller commended the government of Botswana for considering the adoption of the test and treat policy. Moving towards earlier initiation of treatment is strongly supported by a recent international randomized clinical trial, he said. Treatment also acts as prevention by lowering the risk of transmission to uninfected sexual partners. Now is the time to redouble our efforts and together run to and through the finish line.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. We'll discuss the 2016 World Bank IMF Spring Meetings. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.